Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it. Okay, so, again, just to, you know, kind of jump from last week to tell everyone what we're going to do here.
Plan.
Okay? Next week, we are going to talk about The Last Jedi.
Yes.
We'll also
talk about wrestling. But
yeah,
like,
well, I mean, yeah.
But like, that's our big
the
Last
beginning
Jedi.
We'll open the podcast next week with, like, anything big that we have to talk about or, you know, news or something. And then we'll pretty much just jump into Last Jedi, all of our thoughts, our feelings. Maybe then we might know how it ranks amongst the others. Or you still need more time?
Nah.
With that?
Okay. I'm gonna need like I'm not sure if we're Rogue One ranks among the others yet.
Okay, so we're talking. You need years.
Yes.
Okay. So again, this is for all you people who are concerned about spoilers. We're giving you 2 weeks. Last week we first mentioned this. Now we're in within 1 week. So if you get spoiled by us, it's your own fault. Don't come yell at us on Twitter.
I mean, we'll also put spoiler warnings at the beginning of next podcast.
Also, yes.
Like, you really
like
have
you have to,
be
especially dumb to get this
you
movie
really
spoiled
have to fall backwards.
By us. Yes.
And again, I think the most important thing is this is a challenge to WWE.
Right.
This is a gauntlet being thrown down. We hope we don't talk about Last Jedi next week. We hope something happens so interesting
that we have to talk for an hour about
it. That okay. We need to dedicate a full podcast.
Something monumental will happen at this Christmas episode of Raw. Or the day after Christmas episode of SmackDown.
I mean, this is also a challenge. Do something interesting. Don't do something so stupid that I literally have to complain for an hour.
Absolutely. Like, we're wanting a good interesting.
Yes.
Yes. Not a bad interesting. But with that being said, let's talk about Clash of Champions. I almost said Night of Champions.
we'll get that right someday, just in time for them to change it back.
Sure, or something else completely. Overall, like, thumbs up, thumbs down on the show itself. I've got a kind of a thumb meh.
Yeah,
thumb
like it was a very definitely happened
sure,
show.
And honestly, like, that's just going to be kind of the stigma that the last pay-per-view of the year gets, you know?
Yeah.
Because you had that with TLC for so long, you know? It just half-assed feuds that, you know...
part of it is this is the last gasp of feuds before WrestleMania season.
Right.
Because starting with Raw the very next night, people were saying that they would be in the Rumble.
Yeah.
You know, we got the Elias announcement. So, like, that's it. We're kicking off.
Right.
We're starting to know people in Rumbles. So
all these feuds should by and large, be petering out by now.
Yes.
Yeah.
And petering out is a good way to describe it.
Yeah, man. Talk about going out with a whimper.
And part of it is just, like, this isn't a good gimmick to end the year on. Like,
no.
At least TLC... As a concept, like...
Yeah, it had, you know, these extreme matches that you had to go through and chairs matches. notice I said those differently.
Yes, like, no chair matches are stupid.
it's still the Night of Champions gimmick where every championship will be defended. And I'm like, that's every
everything.
Yeah, like, it's literally
You're
no
just
different.
Guaranteeing the ones I don't care about will be defended.
Right. It's already, a half-baked scheme anyway.
Yeah.
As a pay-per-view, on top of a lot of these feuds are finding their way to an end. And then you've got Raw, who's basically just treading water until... They've been treading water since Survivor Series.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get to Royal Rumble, which is at the end of next month.
Yeah.
So we've still got a lot... We still have a solid month from
we
now.
Do. Now, we do have... Raw will have their 25th anniversary celebration.
Right, so you got that to kind of
They're supposedly making a big Raw 1000 style deal about.
Is that the first or second week of January?
It's the second week.
Okay.
I have to go back and look. But it's the kind of thing that's like, okay, so we've talked about we're going to have a lighter pay-per-view schedule next year.
Yeah.
And we're kind of like, is that a good thing or bad thing? Because for all the, like, there's too many pay-per-view, there's too many... Once you get so many big events, nothing's a big event, which we've had this past year.
But at the same time, when you have those brief moments where you've got a long stretch of time before the next pay-per-view, Raw in particular really struggles to keep everyone's interest that the entire way.
Right.
So now you're telling me that they're going to have to do that pretty much all year, basically rotating between those two shows. Like, for one, it's like for 2 months, one of these shows is going to be kind of crap.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and a lot of that came from the, you know, event shows, the Sundays, the pay-per-views, whatever you want to... It's like, at some point, we can't call these pay-per-views.
Yeah, I just recently learned that they're still technically, you know, be able to buy on pay-per-view.
You are technically able to buy them.
I don't know who's doing it, but, you know, whatever.
Well, and
that's...
That's
people that's really bad with their money.
That's the thing is, like, especially some of those mid ones. Like, who saw this? Who saw the build-up for Clash of Champions and was like, no, no. Nothing's got my attention but this.
Yeah.
This is worth my $50, but I still don't...
God, I hope it's not $50.
But I still don't trust them with the next, like, because right. I could buy 5 months.
You can literally just, like, make up an email and sign up for a free trial. Yeah. Like, that's all you got to do.
I mean, I could see...
I mean, no, don't do that. That's fraud.
If you... Or if you watched WrestleMania every year with your friends,
yeah.
And you all pitched in $5 every year and did nothing else with wrestling, but that was like your tradition, I can see people still doing that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, getting together and paying the pay-per-view
just
price
for that
for
one moment, especially when you're spreading out the cost.
Yeah.
But forking out all that money, assuming by yourself, that's sad. And just like I said, you're just bad with money.
Yeah. So, but we have these pay-per-view events that are really driving the story forward.
Mm-hmm.
And because there are so many of them, they were driving the story to the point where nothing else was driving the story forward. No story momentum happened on the shows.
Yeah.
So when we had these gaps, it felt like nothing was happening for a long time. Hopefully this will force some sort of forward momentum to happen on the shows. Some feuds need to be carried out on the show.
Right. And will be contained within those 2 months or so. You will have, hopefully, more meaningful championship matches where, like, actual big championships will be trading hands on the regular show. You know, kind of like what NXT was a couple years ago. They don't... I say that when, you know, sorry, spoiler alert, the tag team championships changed hand on NXT this week.
Yeah.
So...
Well, and that's a... That's the thing that, you know, I like seeing championships change hands on...
Although I don't believe... I guess it's been a very long time since the NXT championship has changed hands on the regular show.
Yeah, I don't know.
Probably
when the last
not,
one was.
It was probably before the TakeOver era.
Yeah. But they also rarely have, like, champions up for grabs.
Right.
So, because that's the thing is, like, on Raw, especially the United States or Intercontinental... It feels like once a month they'll be like, oh, and this one's for the title. And you're like, yeah, okay, you're not a pay-per-view. You don't count.
Right.
So, yeah, just having that be a thing that feels like, you know, oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of just having – that's the big thing is having these episodes matter.
Yeah.
I need to see this because if I don't, I will miss it. And honestly, just, you know – Again, I feel like we make some sort of version of this complaint every other week.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to look at what, you know, sequential television storytelling looks like these days.
Right.
It's not Law, I mean, it's not Law and Order where, like, everything is a standalone. You could jump in at any time.
Right.
Like, I can't miss an episode of Game of Thrones. I'm lost. I'm lost if I miss one episode of Westworld.
Right.
Raw needs to...
Specifically weekly programming that... You know, you can't binge when first comes out, obviously.
Right. And Raw doesn't need to have that level of, you know, because at some point you are, you know, cutting off new fans.
Right.
Like, I couldn't imagine being somebody be like, yeah, I'll see what this Game of Thrones is when it comes back. Like,
right.
Now I'll give it a chance.
Like, season 7 or whatever,
yes.
Yeah.
Like, they have, but they also have... HBO Go or HBO Now, where you can start at the beginning still and go through. And so a well-balanced, you know, WWE show has, you know, feuds that are starting that are easy to jump in on all the time and feuds that are going.
Yeah.
But have this, like, I need to see every episode because if I don't, I'm missing something.
But then again, they've got you covered because the stuff that's ongoing, they'll just beat it over the head to death with all those replays.
Right, and that's a problem. They're kind of, you know, shooting themselves in the foot there. Where,
like, I understand they want to like reset like every hour or so and remind people like, hey, if you weren't watching earlier, this is what you missed. So make sure you watch it all this time. But then again, what's the point if you're just going to re-show all the major
right.
points?
But if it is slightly inconvenient to watch Raw, I'll watch it next week. They'll tell me what I missed.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, I've canceled plans with people to watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Like, real humans are like, hey, you want to have social interactions like normal people? And you're like, no, dragons.
Right.
Like, I'm sorry, but this is happening on TV.
Right. And you're not going to do that with wrestling because, again, like, you can catch it. So you can catch a recap of it somewhere, or you could just watch it next week and they'll just tell you.
They'll just tell me.
You know, they'll spoon feed everything to you.
And the odds that something will happen that I don't want to miss, like 3%.
Yeah.
I mean, because you think back and you're like,
you might miss the finer details of a cruiserweight.
Well, what is the last thing where you saw and you're like, I'm glad I saw that live. I'm glad I was a part of that.
I mean, obviously the one that jumps off to me is the Punk.
Yeah, like the last thing is like, I don't immediately want to jump back to the pipe bomb. But that's like the last thing. You're like, well, yeah, this is pipe bomb.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's other stuff that, you know, like a lot of the Daniel Bryan stuff leading up to.
Okay, yeah, like the yes, yes.
Rhode Island,
where
yeah.
he like controlled the crowd.
That when John Cena announced him or Daniel Bryan as his opponent for Money in the Bank, that was a great moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff like that.
And there's stuff like, okay, another big one is like Sting coming out for the first time.
Sure.
But that was a pay-per-view.
It was a pay-per-view.
But yeah, that was a big, like, I'm glad I experienced that live.
Right.
I'm glad I was seeing that the way it was meant to be seen.
Yeah. Yeah, so Clash of Champions.
Clash of Champions.
Let's actually talk about this show. Okay. What were some of the highlights for you?
I mean, the biggest takeaway was the refs. It was Shane and Daniel Bryan being the refs.
Yeah. First of all, I would like to say that I really like how they coordinated like the very end of that match.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was a lot of like, not a lot of moving parts, but they had to time pretty much everything perfectly for that.
Yeah.
Well,
it was a really good escalation where this happened, which caused
it seemed chaotic and cluster, and not everyone really knew what was going on, and it was by design, so it didn't really feel like awkward or horrible to watch or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it really felt like, you know, you're watching, I don't want to necessarily say a train wreck or anything, but you know, organized chaos essentially.
Yeah. Well, it was if not a car wreck, like a traffic jam where like a lot of people are trying to go in the same direction at once and, like,
it's
get in each other's way.
It's like a really good, independent, like, one-scene movie that just takes place in a traffic jam. And it's just a bunch of people who are in their cars and they're mad and they have interactions and everything like that. There you go. Bam. I just pitched a movie.
It's okay. But
you can call it Crash 2. Whatever.
But, you have Daniel Bryan in on the fast count.
Right.
And you have it in a way it's like, this is a fast count.
Yeah.
Like, but you know that was a spiteful thing. It's like, I'm doing this because you did this.
Sure.
And like, honestly,
it felt like it was a measured escalation.
Right.
You know, no one seemed to go to 11 too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not even Shane, who, you know, it seems like he gets turned up to 11 like way too quickly in a lot of situations.
Yeah. Well, I kind of hate it because they talk about it, you know, on the next SmackDown this week.
Yeah.
And Shane says something about, like, I hit twice, and then everything that KO did to my dad and they did to me, and I just couldn't help myself, and I couldn't make the count.
Yeah.
And I was like, because he had this, when you watch it, you're like, oh, he did the two count and stopped because it evens out the three count that should have happened when Daniel Bryan crashed into
him.
And you're like, all right, solid.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like,
that's a little bit. But then again, you know, in situations where you're kind of getting called out for something, you might just play it up a little bit, you know, and make it be like, you know what? Yeah, here's my reasoning. And it might be like, it may not be completely accurate, But you kind of have to, like, you know.
I don't know why he didn't say, like, I'm evening it out.
Sure, it would have been the easier explanation, yeah. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, they got to dramatize everything.
And it felt like, you know, because watching it, that was the when he does that, watching it live, mm-hmm. you're not like, why did he do that?
Yeah.
What is his motivation?
And you look on
his
face. You
can immediately click back 2 minutes. You're like, oh, he's retaliating.
And if I'm remembering correctly, look at his face in that moment. He's enjoying it. Like,
yeah.
Totally premeditated. There was no, like, in that moment I replayed everything in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
He knew he was going to do that when he went down and made the count.
Yeah.
So, and I do want to ask, throughout the course of those matches,
okay,
Dan O'Brien's interactions, would you consider those bumps? Could they be an indicator? Are we grasping at straws here?
Yes and no.
Because I feel like we've been grasping at straws for a while. And, you know, a little bit justifiably so. Because, again, why have Dan O'Brien have a shouting match with The Miz on Talking Smack if you're not going to plan on doing something eventually? Like,
yeah.
You know, or position himself against Shane in such a way where it's only escalating.
I will say that, so I, just like you,
mm-hmm.
was watching for signs that Daniel Bryan was some level of cleared.
Yes.
Was watching for signs that they were okay with him taking a wrestling match.
And the way I...
Even a gimmick wrestling match.
The way I see it, the fact that he was even in the ring as a ref
mm-hmm.
is a big indicator.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this time, well, not even this time, but, you know, earlier this year, there's no way in the world they would have had him in the ring during a match for whatever reason, you know. Even if it's to break up a fight or whatever.
Yeah. Well, so the biggest thing, the thing that gives me pause, though, because I want to be right there with you and be like, this is a sign.
Right.
It's on the way, you know, mm-hmm. no doubt. But the thing that gives me pause is he had one really big, quote-unquote, bump, which was
he
KO.
He got pushed onto the pin.
Yes. And that wasn't – it was weird.
Yeah.
Like, and I – probably can chalk that up to KO was just a little bit late and kind of made a scramble thing.
Sure.
But because it was weird, I was like, oh, was that gentle?
Right.
Was that intentionally gentle because mm-hmm. we're treating Daniel Bryan with delicate kid gloves?
Right. Just for the time. Hopefully just for the time being. But
and it
was kind of like almost like a dipping your toe in the water kind of situation.
But him just doing it weirdly is the thing that's keeping me from like hitting the buttons like, he's back. He's coming.
Right. And then, again, like, pair that with interview he just did with Rosenberg, I believe on his YouTube channel, where, you know, they asked him the same questions that they've been asking him for a while now, but it was a little bit different this time where he was, like, basically saying, well, the company's still saying no. I'm still presenting my case, my evidence, all this stuff that all this interactions I'm having with all these doctors to show them I'm fine,
mm-hmm.
and they're still at no. And then he went from that to talking about the tension, the real tension between him and Shane, and we're like, yeah, but that's kayfabe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really kayfabing up that whole thing, because I'm assuming Shane still really doesn't have any say on really anything backstage these days.
I don't know. I'm really curious about that.
Yeah, and I am too, but it really just seems like, you know, Shane just kind of comes in, he does what they, you know, they give him, and then he, you know, goes home. I don't really know if he has or if he has any desire to have any creative input on things.
Yeah.
But that's the first time I've heard anyone having anything to do with Shane behind the scenes.
Shane's always going to have some say. Like, if Shane has an idea, it's going to hold more weight than the average guy backstage.
Right.
So any of this, like, no, Shane doesn't have any say, that's
right.
not true on some level.
We just don't know if he is offering any insight.
Right.
Yeah.
But I gotta feel like if he's had 3 matches. He had 2 at WrestleMania and then
2 WrestleMania, 2 Survivor Series, and then the KO Hell in a Cell.
Okay, so he's had 5 matches since he came back. Plus then this one he special reffed, and I think he special reffed 1 more since he's been back.
I think it was another Kevin Owens thing. Yeah. Yeah.
So I feel like when he's in the ring, he has to have some input on, like,
sure,
what we want to do with that, where do we want to go with that.
Yeah.
Because
you also have to consider his limitations and what he's willing or able to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's a really slippery slope where it's like, you know, I'm just here to do what needs to be done. Okay, well, if I'm in this match anyway, let me talk to the well, as long as I'm saying this is how we should build up to this match. And like,
right.
Oh, well, you should do this with this other guy to build up to the match.
Right.
And like, he had a lot of say once upon a time, and it's easy to slip back into that.
Yeah.
And it's easy to listen to him because, you know, and it's got to be, you know, weird if you're working for WWE and you're like, it's been Stephanie for years. It's Stephanie and Triple H.
Yeah.
That's who's going to run this company that I want to keep working at, theoretically. Yeah. But Shane comes in, and there's not a power struggle, but there could be a power struggle.
Right, yeah.
And you're like, I'm not going to be, you know, if Shane comes back and it suddenly everything turns, I don't want to be remembered as the guy who didn't listen to him because he wasn't in charge.
Right, yeah. So, I don't know. It felt... Yeah, and I didn't, like, you know, watch the interview or anything like that. I'm just reading, you know, transcripts and stuff. But it felt weirdly different than anything else. Because up to this point, he was just, you know, kind of just saying the same thing over and over again. But, you know, people are still asking, so he's going to give them the same answer.
Yeah.
This one, kind of the same answer, but, you know, it went straight into this whole thing with Shane. You know, and given the current storyline on SmackDown... It really feels like
suspicious.
He's kayfabing it up, so I don't know. But back to Clash of Champions. I felt like my favorite match of the night was the tag team Fatal 4-Way.
I mean, it's always a good pick at this point.
Yeah, and honestly, like, Chad Gable, like, he really brought it out there, especially at the end of that match when he kept doing the German suplexes.
Yeah.
The one in English looked just... ridiculous. And then, you know, then he does it to, you know, Rusev and Big E.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy is a monster.
Rusev Day has arrived.
It's taken off. He's still supposed to be a bad guy, but the fans don't care.
Yeah.
You know, even the next SmackDown when he comes out in Rusev Santa suit and, you know, in English is Olaf or whatever.
I'm worried this will turn him into Goofy Face. And that's like the road you see it going
maybe,
down.
But it seems like he's comfortable with that, too.
I don't mind him being goofy. I don't want his goofiness to undermine or take away anything from his monster legitimacy.
Right, sure. But then again, like, Big E is able to kind of, like, straddle that, like...
Big E is the poster child for how to do it right.
Right.
But you can't point to another one. Like, Big E is almost an anomaly for being...
Maybe Akeem the African Dream? I don't know.
Well, is it like...
but you've got to go way back to try to think of it.
Big E is Santino levels of comedy,
right.
But put into...
But he'll still...
A monster.
He'll still squash a bug of a human being in the ring.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good problem to have, especially when so little was done with him prior to this.
Yeah.
You know, and even before nothing was done, it was him being buried by all the top guys.
Oh, yeah, no, I will take this over...
A Barry program with him and Randy.
Yeah. Well, he was stuck in the Bray Wyatt thing where, like, he had a big run initially.
Yeah.
So, like... Oh, it'll be a big, you know, boost for somebody beating me. Like, no, they're like the ninth person that beat him.
Yeah.
The Chris Jericho problem.
Sure.
Where, like, yeah, there's legacy to consider.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you haven't won your last three, then you're not the top of the mountain anymore.
Yeah. And then moving on from that, we've got, like, two weird moments that doesn't... One happened on Clash of Champions. One happened the next, you know, SmackDown.
Uh-huh.
But you got the women's championship match with Charlotte and Natalya. Natalya loses and then has this weird promo at the end where it sounds like she's about to, like, quit. Like JBL did at the end of WrestleMania against Rey Mysterio.
Mm-hmm.
It felt a lot like that. And then, like, you know, but she doesn't say exactly what she's doing. She just walks to the base of the ramp and just, you know, ugly cries for a few minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here wondering, like, is she stalling or is this planned or did she forget to say that she quits? And she needs to go back and pick up the microphone? Like, I don't know what's going on. Like, am I the only one that felt that way?
I
got that vibe from it. Of course, it's probably, like, you know, storyline or whatever, but...
Yeah. I don't know. And part of that is, like, I'm okay with not necessarily knowing right now.
Right.
Because... Yeah, you can do something where you're like, oh, I need to tune in on SmackDown and see what's going on there. And that felt like, just watching Clash of Champions felt like that. Felt like she did that. She made this kind of crypto announcement and is overcome with emotion kind of thing.
Yeah. And if she is quitting, she picked the absolute worst time because then the next night they announced that there's a Women's Royal Rumble going on.
Yes.
More on that later.
We'll get to that.
Yeah. But still, like, if that's the case... You picked the wrong time.
Well, and I don't think it was, unless she has genuine, like, family issues or personal reasons
right,
for leaving that I don't know about.
Like, rehab an injury or something, you know?
Yeah. I don't see this as a quitting thing. I see it just as a story shift, I guess.
Yeah. And what makes this weirder is, you know, same night, the United States Championship changes hand. Dolph Ziggler wins it. And the next SmackDown, he basically, like, he comes out in his best... Lost My Smile wardrobe going on and gets in the ring and, you know, he drops the U.S. championship.
He does his own, like, Dolph Ziggler, this is your life for himself.
Right. And then he goes, like, kind of a weird, like, depressing slash, you know, I don't need this anymore kind of speech. And then, you know, lays down the U.S. championship and walks away. It's like... In a different way, he's not exactly what Natalya did because Natalya obviously lost, but it had that same like weird feeling, and it's just weird that they're both happening at the same time.
Yeah, the Natalya one seems a lot more par for the course.
Yeah,
like these kind of like threats to quit when you lose, angry, upset, frustrated kind of things.
Right.
That's not. Unprecedented territory.
But it is like a way to get them off TV for whatever whatever reason is actually going on. Yeah.
Right. So that one's like, all right, I'll see what happens. I'm not uninterested, but I'm expecting a formula to be followed here. I know the beats of this story.
Right.
The Dolph Ziggler one is weird.
Yeah.
Because like, so going through that, like my initial thoughts were this is I'm too good for this championship. This is a B-level championship. Mm-hmm. I'm an A-level champion. I am beyond this champion. And like, but like reflecting on it almost, because I didn't go back and watch it, but I just like thought about it later and I'm like, that wasn't the feeling I think they were going for.
No, that wasn't. And it didn't feel like that was the tone of the promo.
Right.
And it's just a big question mark, you know? Like I have no idea. And maybe that's a good thing that we don't have any idea of what's going on. Maybe he hates that record scratch in his theme music more than I do, which is saying a lot.
But, like, so I don't know if he's still champion.
Right.
Like, he is on the website last I checked.
Okay. You said that, and that was the next thing that thought that I had, so I had, yeah.
I mean, I haven't, you know, checked in the past half hour, and this podcast isn't going out... You know, live. So, like, by the time you're listening to this, who knows?
It very well could have changed. They could have told us everything via Twitter.
Yes. But, like, I was like, okay, is he champion still? I don't know. And then there's, like, okay, so is he gone? Or is... Yeah, it's weird. But it's weird where I'm like, all right, I'm weirdly kind of invested in this, in, like, what they're doing with this.
As of right now, he's still listed as U.S. champion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, but because it is something that is, it feels like they have story beyond tonight.
Right.
And in this day and age, you know what? I'm a sucker for that. That's a big thing for me. If it's like, oh, it feels like you have a plan. Like, not even if you do. If you start something where I'm like, oh, you have, you know what's happening next week. You know what's happening.
yeah.
next pay-per-view with this storyline, mm-hmm. then I'm like, all right, I'm on board with that. I'm at least willing to get in the car to take this ride.
Yeah.
You know, take me where you're going. Right. And that's part of the thing with the Natty thing. It kind of feels like they don't have a plan.
Right.
They don't have an idea. It's right. just like, oh, we'll do this.
This is a way to get you off TV for now. We'll come up with something else to get you back.
Right.
You know, whereas Dolph, it feels like the beginning of a storyline.
And it's to the point where, like, Natty stuff happens so much where I'm not mad at that anymore. I'm just kind of numb to it.
Yeah, same here.
Where it's just like, okay, they're doing that.
Yeah.
But
the character's throwing another tantrum. Okay. Yeah.
But then on the flip side, with the Dolph Ziggler thing, the idea that you have a thought, an idea, you have a point to be made down the road, mm-hmm. is so almost so unusual and novel that I'm like, all right, let's strap in. Yeah.
I would like at least some explanation, because, you know, if you're just going to drop the championship, why fight so hard for it, mm-hmm. you know, to get it in the first place the night before?
Well, and, you know, the last thing Ziggler was the I'm going to do everybody's entrance thing.
Right.
That was the last, like, noteworthy
yeah.
story that he had. And that was a Natty thing. That was like a, hey, we'll have Ziggler do this.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, oh, we can do that for several weeks. But there was never any idea of, like, this will lead to a feud with this person.
Yeah.
He will take issue with this. It was just like, it felt like a time filler.
Yeah.
Oh, who's he going to do this week? Which is fine when it's Damian Sandow trying to find a character, and it's a solid comedy gimmick, and you're like, I want to see what he does this week.
Right.
But when Dolph Ziggler...
When Dolph Ziggler does it, it's like,
Well, Dolph Ziggler's treating it as serious character.
Right. Okay.
And it's not, and it doesn't feel like it's building to anything.
It feels more like Mommy and Daddy yelling at the dinner table. We're just like, I'm okay with for this to go ahead and end.
Well, it's just, yeah, it's like, know? It's, there's not, with this thing right here, with the leaving the title, there's a lot of like, why did you do that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just watching the strings pull the puppets kind of thing. You're watching the story thread
yeah.
go. You can see like, oh, this has a story thread. I don't know what it is or where it's going, but I see that yeah. how this leads to another thing.
Yeah.
With the title thing, that was just the exact same thing on repeat. No build, no,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah, different song, different entrance.
Yeah.
But it was the exact same thing again and again and again. There was no layering, no building, no, this is headed somewhere.
Yeah.
If it stopped, it would have been like, oh, I guess that's over. Not, oh, it wouldn't feel like they didn't do something.
Yeah.
Like, if they never mentioned this again, it feels like, oh, they didn't do something. They had something, you know, they had a plan that they dropped.
Yeah.
With the, you know, ring entrance thing, it's like, oh, I guess they ran out of ideas.
Sure.
It's not that they stopped, it's just that they're done.
Right. And again, like, that side of the gimmick was, you know, just leading to his feud with Bobby Roode, because his big claim was that, you know, oh, he's all interested. That feud is, you know, by and large over.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no real point to continue doing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was there anything else you want to touch on with Clash of Champions?
No, I don't think so. Okay, I mean, those are the big things.
And that kind of covered pretty much all the stuff I want to talk about with SmackDown.
Yeah.
Raw, a couple Raw notes. Speaking of writing people off, Dean is taking some time off to... he had shoulder surgery today, and everything went well.
I just want the shield.
I know.
Why am I every illness and, honestly, and injury? And
yeah, right. And the whole injury angle on Raw was an angle. Like, all of that was planned, because you needed to take some time off anyway for that shoulder. They don't have a timetable.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming the way that they did it obviously opens the door for a potential feud once he comes back in. Because I believe it was Joe who did all the injuries and then attacked him afterwards. So he's going to be gone for a little while. And obviously the big news that came out of Raw this week was Stephanie announcing that there will be a women's Royal Rumble match. Haven't said how many women are in the match. I'm assuming at the very least 20.
Yeah.
Hoping for 30. I think with the roster they have, plus a couple NXT call-ups, or just one-time-only NXT call-ups, on top of surprises, they can fill out a 30.
Yeah, but let me put it to you this way.
Okay,
so first of all, I need to address two separate things.
Okay.
the fact that they're doing this mm-hmm. and how they announced it, because I have very different feelings about those. So
I'm glad because I feel like me and you are on the mm-hmm. same page on how they presented it.
Putting aside the how they announced it, just talking about the fact that they are doing it.
It's proof that they've been listening to us.
Of course.
Because we've said how great would this be a lot of times.
Yes. It's a great idea, fantastic idea. Very happy they're doing it. I would assume they're doing 20. I would do, if I were them, if I were looking at it the way they like to look at things, I would do 20 just because you can make a big deal out of you're doing a Rumble at all this year, mm-hmm. and then next year you can do 30, and then you get a whole big deal of like, yeah, we're doing a 30. Especially because like, I was really surprised that they did the first women's Hell in a Cell match and the first women's main event of a pay-per-view.
At the same time.
Like, yeah. Those are two different, you know, milestones that you can milk, and they love milking some milestones in this women's revolution.
It's women's evolution now?
Whatever.
So triggered. It is weird that they, you know, they put those both on the same show.
Yeah.
Right. This whole thing makes me think if they're going to end the show on the Royal Rumble. The Women's Royal Rumble? Yeah. Especially if rumors are true that this is how Ronda Rousey makes her debut / wins the Women's Rumble match, because obviously they would end the show on that.
Okay, if it's Ronda Rousey, yeah. Ronda does it.
Right.
But I will say this. If you do put the women's on last, it needs to be a 30. You can't do a 30 and then a 20
absolutely.
Women's.
Absolutely.
But
and again, this fills out their card beautifully, and they only need like a handful of other matches.
Yeah. But I will also say, like, again, just doing the cynical marketing thing,
mm-hmm.
yeah, if it's to end the show on Rousey, it's totally worth it to burn off doing it and then doing a 30 women
right.
in the same year
sure.
and not space those out for two milestones. Just so you can have Ronda win.
Okay. So I do want to... Now we can transition on how they did it. Okay. Let's set the stage here. Okay. You've got... Because, again, like with all these other milestones that have happened in the past, our complaint was always, they're not talking about... There's not a feud here. The quote-unquote feud is these two women. In that case, it was Sasha and Charlotte. All they were talking about was how historical of a moment this is.
Right.
Which it is, but put some feeling behind the feud. Like, your hatred for each other, that's why you're in the Hell in a Cell, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, you have to contain all this chaos.
Yeah.
But they didn't do that. They're just like, we're going to make history, and I'm going to make more history by winning, you know, stuff like that. And we're already getting that element out of this Royal Rumble match. And how do you say... Because that segment started with all these women just going at it and just fighting, you know, tooth and nail, like just beating the mess out of each other. Nia Jax was just throwing girls around. Stephanie comes out and makes this announcement, and they're all cheering and hugging each other.
Yeah.
And like all like holding each other's arms up and like, hey, look, we did it. We're like,
no.
What? You literally all just broke character.
Yes.
And I understand, like, apparently none of them knew the announcement was coming, and they're all like, this was their genuine surprise and everything. But at least, like,
okay.
I don't really care about their genuine reaction in that moment. You could tell them ahead of time and tell them, like, hey, this is going to happen. You're still going to have to fight each other and feud with each other for the next month.
Mm-hmm. So...
But we're not going to get that because they're just going to talk about how historic everything is.
Yes.
Instead of giving us something to actually sink our teeth into, you know?
I've done my stupid Triple H as split soul theory on the podcast, right? I know we did the video, but like...
Like 2-3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
It was last that it popped up. One of these days, I want to get someone to take a clip of that audio and animate it.
So
if we have anyone who's talented with animating things, find that show, find that clip, animate it, and send it to us, and we will give you all of the proper, like, recognition.
Like, it's a thing that is there to highlight inconsistencies in wrestling.
Sure.
And
especially now that you've got, like, the corporate Triple H and then...
Yeah, and just...
You got Paul Levesque, the corporate stooge or whatever.
It's, like, the whole thing is born out of the... insanity that you have to do, you know, bending around yourself to try and justify these storylines.
Right.
the broken soul theory of Triple H pales in comparison to, is Stephanie supposed to be a good guy or a bad guy?
Because I just don't think they care anymore.
Like, they don't. Like, yeah. She is.
They're like, ah, well, we need somebody like be a heel in this segment, but like an authority figure, Stephanie. Well, we've got some really big announcement to make that'll like look good for corporate. So let's get somebody who's involved in corporate, but the fans know. So Stephanie.
So Stephanie has a great thing that her dad had as the corporate villain, mm-hmm. as the head of everything, the boss you hate villain. She is able to.
It's when they yell and they scrunch up their nose.
She's able to frame something in the way where you're like, God, I can hear my boss saying that.
Sure.
Where she can lay out the thing in such a hypocritical way that you know is crap, but you know is the thought process that got you into the crap.
Point in case is the moment where she's called Daniel Bryan a B-plus player. Just the way that she... The way that she progressed, and then, you know, Triple H chimes in with his, you know, well, that's a good spot for you. You mm-hmm. know, like, it's very, like, it's a compliment, but condescending at the same time.
Like,
yeah.
So she's great at that. So, like, there is genuine, like, she is the right person to fulfill this role.
Mm-hmm.
The issue comes from a couple of things. A, Vince always got punched in the face.
Yeah.
I mean, and it was Stone Cold and those other people, but it was Stone Cold.
Like, eventually, Vince always got what was coming to him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Stephanie never gets what's coming to her.
You sure?
She's fallen in, like, a pool of crap a couple of times.
Let's see. She took a spear from Roman, like, seems like 2 years in a row. No, the last time was Triple H bumping into her.
Yeah, Triple H accidentally bumped into her.
And there was one time that she, like, Triple H moved out of the way of a spear and Roman speared her. She always gets some sort of comeuppance at WrestleMania, usually by accident.
Yeah, but that's the thing, it's by accident.
Right.
And that's a very, very important thing.
And Roman Reigns just
kind of
like, you know, looks at camera a la Jim from Office.
Yeah.
From The Office and just kind of like shrugs his shoulders and be like, yeah, sorry.
She's just in the wrong place in the wrong time.
Right.
She's not being punished for being a terrible person.
Right.
And even those wrong place, wrong times are few and far between. For every one of those, we get 9 times of her making Big Show cry.
You're right.
Like,
that's fair. She's really good at that.
Well, and part of that is, you know what? Like, you can't have. She's mean to Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. You can't have Roman Reigns punch the crap out of her.
That sends the wrong message.
It's weird.
It's
uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, it just is.
Yeah, it's going to be on the front page of CNN.com. Yeah.
Well, and that's the kind of thing is, like, I wouldn't. If Roman did that, I wouldn't have that, like, feeling. Like, Stone Cold can beat the crap out of Vince. It is not an even fair fight.
Right.
Like, we always knew that.
Right.
But the dynamic, the setup, had that, like, suck it kind of feel, which won't be there if it's Roman. Now, and, like, it could be there if it's Asuka beaming up, you know.
Yeah.
Stephanie.
Yeah.
But you don't want to, and I totally get you don't want to regulate it to, like, she's the boss of the ladies because she's a lady.
Right.
So I get that that's a weird...
But that's kind of how they're framing it a little bit, at least on Raw.
But that's the thing, is, like, you don't want to do that, but she's always the mouthpiece of when something important happens in the women's division.
Well, I mean...
At which point she turns into the Be A Star PR soundbite Stephanie.
The sweetest lady in the world.
Which,
you know,
is a straight-up different
character
being
Stephanie McMahon, like the real person, I assume.
Yeah,
you know, compared
or at least
to,
that's what it's supposed to be,
right, compared to the on-screen persona. Like, and I know what they, again, like, just in case a big news outlet does pick up that story, they've got that shot of her in the middle of all these, you know, women from Raw, like, all, like, holding their hands up with her. Like, again, she's perfectly framed
in
the
middle.
Yeah.
She is
celebrating with them.
You know,
she's spearheading this,
well,
even though
like,
she helped keep them down in the Divas division for, like, a decade. But, you know, whatever.
Well, you know, you talk about, like, oh, Roman's gonna be there. Stephanie is the face of corporate WWE.
Yes.
I mean, she just is. There's no question of who it is. It's like, oh, could it be Shane or Triple H? No, it's Stephanie.
Yeah,
Stephanie,
like,
is...
Triple H comes and he, like, helps pull his weight, but... 100% she's the face of corporate WWE.
Yeah, and so that's why
she
is
absolutely
there when things like this happen.
Mm-hmm.
But then she comes out, she says it's a monumental thing where you're like, oh.
Right.
And then she says this line. She said this line this week where she said that people were cheering. People were getting excited. Mm-hmm. Like the buildup was going appropriate. And she said, and I don't remember what it was, so I won't quote it directly, but it was essentially, if there was ever a time for a yes chant, now is the time.
Yeah.
Which is
like, that feels gross. Like, A, you're like,
It is the Jeb Bush 2016 please clap of wrestling.
That and Jerry Lawler going, hey, everyone, let's fan, like,
yes,
let's fan, yeah, do
it's,
the fandango
thing. It's the fandango thing. It's like, yeah. Oh, you.
A, it's your parents being like, hey, let's do that cool thing you like to do. You know, there's that. And B, it's the person who, like, in storyline, 3 years before now, like, was stomping down Daniel Bryan's yes movement or whatever.
Well, that's the thing is, like, you're watching that and you're like, oh, you could have had the WrestleMania 30 you wanted if you just had Stephanie say that. Because that would have killed the yes movement dead.
Sure.
It would have felt gross and icky, and
like,
I wouldn't
have
done it.
Let's do the yes chant. And everyone's like, all right, fine. Let's just give us Batista. Fine, whatever. Just get it over with.
Yeah. You could have done it. You screwed up.
You would have
depressed. You played yourself.
You could have depressed everyone into submission right then and there. Okay. So we're kind of like, we're excited about this.
I am glad it's happening.
I
cannot think of a worse way to have announced it.
I am going to be very happy when the match happens.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to be heading to that Royal Rumble match kicking and screaming because I know how the build-up's going to be. But once the match happens, I'm going to be happy.
I don't think it will be as bad as the Charlotte-Sasha thing because that was so clearly supposed to be like, they have a feud because they had a feud before that.
Sure.
That they stopped having
the moment they did the historic
to both
thing,
be
yeah.
historical.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started having it again. You're like, no, that's not how people work. Because so much of Royal Rumble buildup is I will win the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
If they just start, they're going to do the same thing.
And you
thing,
had a little
say,
bit of that on SmackDown. You know,
right.
The women like, were starting to kind of like fight amongst each other, argue amongst each other because of the Rumble.
You're going
to
have those kind of promos, and
sure.
It'll just be, I will be the first Women's Royal Rumble winner,
mm-hmm.
which is like, okay, I can suck that down. Like, I can be fine with that.
Speaking of, how, was it just me, or was that Charlotte promo that she did by herself, did that feel really awkward to you? Like, I don't know.
I mean,
it just,
I was okay with it. It wasn't.
It just
like,
felt like, oh, like, let's go ahead and end this. Like, I just.
I mean.
If anything, it highlighted to me, like, she's so much better as a bad guy, you know? Like, she's so better as a heel.
I mean, I can't.
And I hate that peacock rope. I really do.
I can't point to anything where I'm like, that's a Charlotte promo. Like, she doesn't have super.
No.
Promo. She doesn't have.
But she was
okay,
very.
But
she's also very
have
good
very
at
strong promos.
She no, but she did have her moments when she was more like the like not sarcastic, like a little bit of the condescending, a little bit to whoever she's going up against. She has a little bit of the Stephanie ability to be like condescending to people. So she's able to get by with her promos.
Mm-hmm. Well, she doesn't. They're not cringe promos, but like
no, they're not.
I mean,
they're not lucha thing type levels, but
well, you
I don't know something about that SmackDown promo. Just like it's like I it just
it didn't bother me.
Okay, that's fair.
I mean, but like if it bothered you, I'm not standing
sure.
up to defend it.
Right?
Like,
yeah.
Okay, that's perfectly reasonable.
And then moving on from that, I do want to follow up on something that I brought up last week.
Okay.
And it was involving Joel saying something about eating his hat. It was announced the day after we recorded the podcast, or 2 days after.
It was 2 days after.
That
yes.
Vince has been basically pouring his own money into this.
It's a new and separate company.
Right.
Called Alpha Entertainment, I think.
Right.
Alpha something.
And there's
of
nobody.
Of course, Vince made a thing called Alpha something.
Right. Which makes me think that maybe this whole Chris Jericho thing in New Japan is part of Vince's like big master plan, because he like this is the first time Chris Jericho is referring to himself as the Alpha, and of course he's going against Kenny Omega. But the timing's weird. But anyway, that's a conspiracy theory thing.
Yeah.
And really, the only person involved in Alpha Entertainment is Vince.
Yeah.
And no one knows why he's pouring his own money into this thing other than, you know, exploring opportunities in entertainment, sports,
including
possible,
football.
Including football.
Yes, it did.
And
say
I believe
including football.
There are like some copyright claims being put out there, like UFL, I think, like United Football League or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. So it's not exactly XFL, but Vince seems like he is trying his own hand at a
football thing.
Because honestly, like I said last time, if there was ever a time to do it, here's now. Like, you got, as much as I hate him, you got the LeVar Ball dude, mm-hmm. who is already, like, his two younger kids, you know, the youngest one that, you know, said the N-word on live television.
I know who we're talking
about,
on WWE
yes. Raw. Just saying, just making sure we all know who this. He's pulled his two youngest kids, one out of college after, you know, he got arrested for shoplifting in China. And then he already pulled the youngest one because he just didn't like his high school coach. And the plan was for him to play in on a pro Europe team until they're eligible to go in the draft. Now there's news that he's starting his own, like, semi-pro league.
Yep.
And I think it's like an 8-team league. He's like setting up meetings, he's setting up meetings in big cities and everything. It is for like high school students, I'm guessing, who are coming out of high school that don't want to necessarily go to college, but they want to go basically straight to pro. He's already got a pay structure and everything, and it's like, I hate him, but it's not a terrible idea because some of these kids that just don't, they only go to college that 1 year because they have to.
Right.
I don't know. It seems like these kind of ideas are popping up more and more these days. And so Vince is just, you know, like.
So I will say a couple of things. Mm-hmm. One.
Because there is a, I don't know exactly what the rule is, but you have to play, I don't know if you have to play college football for a certain number of years before you can declare yourself eligible, but there is mm-hmm. some sort of rule like that.
Yeah. I don't know exactly what it is.
There is a similar opportunity in football.
Yeah.
For this.
Couple of things. One, yes, I'm starting to try and decide which of my hats is the most tastiest. In case,
right.
In case the worst.
It's just
the worst.
Like, it's just funny. Like, it felt like such a far-fetched idea when I brought it up on the podcast, and then two days later, like, it seemed verified. I'm like, oh crap! And I'm not saying I was happy about that because
but,
the XFL was awful.
Okay, so here's the question.
Okay,
is this the XFL? When you say the phrase the XFL is coming back,
right?
That has a certain amount of weight behind it. That has a certain connotation
right.
to it. And we don't know. We don't know if this is that.
If this whole the copyright thing is true, and he's going to try to call it the United Football League, mm-hmm. it sounds like it will be a serious attempt at just another football league.
Mm-hmm. And if that is the case,
but if it's something like XFL that sounds gimmicky, then mm-hmm. yeah, it's going to sound like the basketball league that had trampolines.
Right. So this
that was a good callback. Like way back, like forever ago.
So here's where I'm standing on it. Like the feeling of he's bringing the XFL back. Yes, the XFL had this gimmick of, like, it's more extreme, it's more dangerous, and the cheerleaders are hotter.
Right.
Like, it had all the, like, we're mashing professional football mm-hmm. into wrestling. But the big thing with XFL was this out of the gate, we're taking on the NFL.
Right.
You know, like, there is a genuine alternative thing to
it's
the NFL.
Like, it's like Vince was Eric Bischoff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's... That's where I'm kind of like holding off on.
Yeah.
Because if he calls it XFL, if he doesn't call it, if it's UFL, if it's whatever.
Right.
If he comes out and is like,
this is going to be a direct competition with the NFL, we're going to take it to them and we're going to beat them or whatever. Like,
yeah.
Then
in that
like,
case, in that case, that's the XFL. Like another name, whatever. That's the XFL.
Right,
like I
sure.
can't be like, no, it's a different name. No, he's brought back the XFL.
Yeah.
If it is this weird alternative thing, if it is like a semi-pro.
Yeah.
Or if he like. Is playing, you know,
but it's handled. But it's handled like seriously. You know what I mean, like, mm-hmm. and not like a circus act that the XFL was. Yeah,
That is not the XFL.
Sure, right.
And that, but that's also like that's not Vince. Like, if he brings it,
that's
out,
a Vince idea that he's put someone else in charge.
Right.
Yeah.
If it comes out and it's like, here's what we're doing. Here's our research to show like how this will work in the market.
Right.
Here's the you know, 18 to 35 that we're aiming for demo. Mm-hmm. Here's da, da, da. And I'm like, I'll give it till week 3.
Right, sure.
And then let's see if Vince is like, it also needs this.
Honestly, this just might be like Vince's NXT. Like, this might be just his pet project. And hand over to WWE and see how they do without him. And that this can be the new thing he concentrates on. And like, earnestly, like, you know, because if you don't remember, like, he was running Raw, SmackDown, and the XFL at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to like burn you out like really quickly.
So yeah, I'm not ready to eat a hat yet.
No,
but
right. Because nothing has been officially announced, yes. So sure.
But I will say, like, all right, like, let's see where this
but
goes.
But you did get a WWE rep confirm that he is pouring money into this Alpha Entertainment.
And that to me is the biggest thing. So, sure. Like, even if nothing football-related comes out, like...
He's doing something.
Vince is doing something.
Yeah.
And that's going to be interesting.
He's doing something with that $1.6 billion that he's got now.
So I'm curious as to what...
That something is.
Yes, I'm curious as to what Alpha Entertainment is, and that I will absolutely keep track of.
Fair enough. Okay, so gift exchange time?
Gift exchange. Marry normal people Royal Rumble. If Royal Rumble is the wrestling Christmas, then Christmas must be the normal people Royal Rumble.
Okay, for some reason I thought you were going to say the women's Royal Rumble was abnormal, but okay.
No.
No, you're right. I've kept saying that the Royal Rumble is Christmas because you get a present every 2 minutes and you don't know what it's going to be. I will say this during this entire podcast. I keep looking at the present that you wrapped for me, and you've got this really like fun WWE wrap, but on the side, it's got Daniel Bryan with his arms up doing the yes chant. But it's on the corner, so from that angle, it looks like his arms are up, but both his wrists are like off to the right. Like he's doing something like he was mid choreography.
Yep, he's doing a hey yo.
Yeah.
All right.
So I was like, okay. So all right. So I'm gonna hand Joel his first.
Okay.
Wrapped in classic Mick Foley flannel type.
Yes. Yes.
Pattern. I've used it.
I
many
feel like I've seen this last year and the
yes.
year before.
All and right. Joel is very preciously on, wrapped, gotta, unwrapping
I gotta
this.
Right here into the mic.
Oh man!
So,
I forgot that you know. Again, this is an audio podcast, so I feel like I have to do commentary on this.
All right.
It's a box.
We've definitely gotten to the box portion.
Yep.
Of it.
And you open it up.
And let's see.
There you go. Your other present dropped. Something that's going to piss you and your wife off. It's going to piss you off because it's Roman Reigns, and it's going to piss your wife off because it's a fidget spinner.
It is a Roman
Reigns. It is a cheaply made, like, in China, not even WWE.
It is. It is not a WWE. Because they do have a fidget spinner in their WWE shop
and
commercial.
And their shipping is basically double what those things cost.
Oh, my goodness. This is not indoors, like, but it fidget spins.
It does fidget spin, and it's going to make your wife incredibly angry because your wife is a teacher and has had to deal with students and fidget spinners this entire time.
I will say this. I've been genuinely, like, charmed by the fidget spinner thing. Uh-huh. Like, in the way that was, like, I remember when it was yo-yos and snap bracelets.
Oh, sure. Yeah, something that just angered teachers.
Yeah, so it's like, I would enjoy the novelty of having a fidget spinner. And then they started coming out with, like, WWE fidget spinners and Spider-Man fidget spinners and Star Wars. And so I was like, now I want a gimmick one because I'm a sucker for all corporate
gimmicky
America.
Thing, yeah. Now, if you hear, like, from all these podcasts from here on out, if you hear a hum, that means Joel's playing
whistle.
With us. Right. But the actual main present is this shirt that I got from ProWrestlingTees.com.
Fantastic. It is the Cactus Jack
wanted
dead or alive but done.
As
a Christmas Santa was.
Jolly old Saint Mick.
Wanted, naughty or nice, Saint Mick, a rebel named Claus. Very nice.
Because if there's ever a shirt that was 100% Joel, it is Mick Foley as a Santa Claus.
Yes.
Yeah. That's
this will be my Christmas shirt this year. That'll be
I'm
wearing.
I've showed you my Christmas shirt. It's more of an Easter shirt, but I don't care. It's just a black shirt with Jesus on the front wearing sunglasses that says, I'll be back.
Yeah.
But I get to wear it for multiple holidays.
There you go. There you go. All right.
And my, you know.
There you go. That one's for
my
you.
My strongly religious family will love it.
It will go off without a hitch. All right. Now make sure you tear into the mic. You got to. There we go. That is the sound of childhood joy. The sound of a present being unwrapped.
Woo-hoo.
Well, now that's just Mario.
It's-a-me.
So, yep. Be sure you open it right side up.
the top's up here.
Okay, good. That's good. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't criticize me.
I'm just saying.
Making me very self-conscious. Okay. Right. I'm going to guess a race car.
Okay. Definitely a guess that exists.
It is. It is action figures. Rey Mysterio, so he's going to get beat up. And he's way too tall compared to the rest of these. Sin Cara with one of his little like mask wings.
Yes, these are not mint in the box action figures.
Also, it doesn't have arm tattoos, so this is bad Cara. Technically, yeah. Well, no, he's the same height as Rey Mysterio when I call BS. You got Seth. You got Roman?
Yeah, that's okay. Roman. Yeah, that's, the whole shield is in there.
But Roman doesn't have a vest. Roman also doesn't have a hand.
Again, these are not mint inbox. I don't know if that...
You've got, like...
I'm very curious if that
Roman... Lannister over here.
I'm very curious if that Roman was sold, without like, a hand? With a vest. And it just never did. I know, I'm assuming it was sold with a hand.
Right.
But yeah, he does. He is missing.
You've got Daniel Bryan, but his face looks like... Like he should be a knight in Game of Thrones. Like, look at that face.
Yeah, all
right. Yeah, it. And then obviously got Dino.
Yes.
Whose head is very shaky.
Again, I think these have
like,
been...
he's got a little bit of a D'Lo Brown head on him.
I think these have definitely been in a couple of rings before.
And inside, we have paper that is bound by a single paper clip. Whatever these things
are. Those are binder clips, Chris. Clips.
Class of Ring Attire the Movie by Joel Leonard. Bro, you wrote a script?
Yeah, what up?
You actually wrote a script with Joel and Chris. Oh my god. Like, do you want to just give a quick like tagline to this?
I so don't have a know? Tagline. I mean, there should be a tagline. But no, I thought you would be charmed by that.
I am. I mean, I can't wait to dive into this. So should we turn this into an audiobook real quick and just go through this? Because, I mean, you got the two main characters right here. Are there other characters besides me and you?
Yeah, Blair and Q make an appearance. I figured, like, it would be hard not to... Because it was, like, how do you, like, capture the essence of what is a nonfiction news-based podcast into like, a feature film-style story?
Okay, so we got to, I haven't, like, read any of this, but we've got to make this, right?
I mean, I assume, yeah.
God. See, so. here's what frustrates me and makes me also adore you at the same time. A, you're right like a madman. Like, you're always writing, and I can't work like that. Like, I don't have ideas like that. I want to have ideas like that, but I don't. I hit walls... And I bang my head against that wall for like a few weeks and then just take a nap. You just power through with a Miley Cyrus sized wrecking ball through the wall and just keep plowing through, man. Like, I admire that and frustrates me.
All right.
But thank you. You obviously put a lot more work and effort into this gift than I just made like a purchase on ProWrestlingTees.com and a sketchy Amazon purchase.
I mean, to be fair, I have been playing with
the fidget spinner and honestly,
since it got unwrapped.
I will be like throwing this Rey Mysterio at everything.
Well, you need somebody for the rest of them to beat up.
Oh, and look.
I mean.
Look. Sin Cara's hand's all messed up. He's not going to finish that match.
That's a Sin Cara career-ending injury.
Like, Roman's still powering through, and he doesn't have a hand.
Yes. I mean, if you can't tell by the audio, these are toys that were not bought at the Walmart
in the box. I'm assuming you picked them up as, like, an eBay thing, knowing you.
No.
No?
For those who don't know, I definitely work in an elementary school where sometimes kids...
I have confiscated wrestling toys? That's even better!
I thought you might like that.
That's incredible!
So...
There's so many sad... Like, there's going to be so many sad children!
I mean, I don't know how many. That's probably one kid's collection.
Still! That's a sad child.
But yeah, that was.
That makes me so giddy.
It wasn't picked up at the end of the year, and they were like, you know, I guess we'll just throw these away. And I'm like, you will not, ma'am. Those are WWE wrestling toys.
So you've been storing them up?
Yes, I have.
Oh my God. Again, I adore you and I love you, my buddy, my friend. I can't wait to dive into the script. I'd actually started reading a book like yesterday. Screw that noise. This script now takes precedence.
All right. All right. A Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you, man.
Yes.
Thank you.
It's been quite a year. I guess we still have 1 week left. So it's,
we have
it's
1 week
been
left.
Quite a year.
Now, and again, like, we're going to do a whole Star Wars thing. Also, next week, we are going to remind everyone what our classy categories are.
What the classy categories are, yes.
Obviously, the classy awards will be given out on our first podcast of 2018.
Yes.
And
because as always, we like, there's been no Slammies. Has there been an announcement of the Slammies?
No, because there wasn't Slammies any last
year.
You're
right.
Yeah.
That's just, we've outlasted the Slammies, man.
I mean, well, like, they started like way before we did, but
I know, but we're now the official, you know,
we are the authority of year end awards.
I assume
screw
so,
that
yeah.
Meltzer guy. but yeah, we'll announce all the categories. We might even discuss, you know, if we want to take some away, add some. We still have that Divas category that we have said that we're taking away, but I've got a good winner for this one.
All right.
Just like Diva in general.
Does it beat out Ryback from last year?
Almost.
All right.
Not quite. No one made a really bad, like, Tumblr post like Ryback did last year, so he's not quite at that level, but it's getting there.
All right, we'll see.
All right.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet when it's appropriate. And then sometimes when it's not appropriate, just tweeting happens there. Follow us.
Inappropriate tweetings are best kind. If you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send us your Star Wars thoughts, your wrestling thoughts, all your thoughts. Send that over to our email. That's classroomingattire@gmail.com.
We're also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. You subscribe there. You get a new episode every single week. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or if you write a review, that kind of stuff just really helps out the podcast.
And if you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on, are we on Facebook? Or, yeah, we're also
yeah, we
on,
are
Facebook.
On Facebook.
Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. So what are kind of the projects we're working on. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah. Fade to black.